Can you give me another example of what Ingenuity Lab is working on where you would incorporate these principles? And here I'm thinking about the work that you're doing with carbon dioxide.
What we're looking at is carbon transformation. Carbon is a very valuable commodity, and we've been wasting a lot of it by emitting it into the atmosphere, which can cause or is believed to be responsible for an acceleration in climate change. Well, it's a valuable commodity. Everybody talks about how plants fix carbon, and that's how these large amounts of carbon came into our society. And how we have oil and coal and these other products is because they all came from plants which fix carbon. So what we do is we looked at making a system that replicates an element of the photosynthetic process within a solid phase structure. It's actually an aerofoam in which CO2 is transformed and fixed into valuable products. This is not alive. There's no bacteria. There's no green algae. We just took out the fundamental machinery of living systems that fix carbon and transform it into other products and incorporate that into a new type of engineered system. And so now what we have is we have the ability with very, very high efficiency, more efficient than what a plant does because we don't get to support the life of the plant or the life of an algae by making it grow, divide, fight disease or whatever. We're taking all of the energy that we're imparting into the system and using that to transform CO2 into valuable added drop-in products. So what this means is that we are able to replicate the function that you would find in a tree and incorporate that into a reactor that the output of that reactor goes directly into an economic pathway that generates wealth and prosperity for our citizenry.
What support do you have for this?
Well, we're funded by the province of Alberta and we're funded by the CCEMC to demonstrate this technology at a larger scale, which is what we're engaged in doing right now.
Now, there's a number of different groups around the world who are also looking at how to take carbon and turn it into something that we can use. And so what would be some of those things that other people are working on, and how does what you're doing fit in with what they're doing?
Well, most of the work that people are doing, they're looking at chemical transformation of the carbon into a very limited number of products, primarily cement or aggregate type of products. And two things. One is that there's a relatively geographically limited market for the sale of those products, and it doesn't allow you to adapt the production of the value-added products to the local market demands. So the technology that we have, we've identified over 40 different drop-in chemicals that we can manufacture. So depending upon what the market is, what the need is geographically, you can make what you need to sell. The second thing that makes it different is the efficiency at which we operate and the long-term opportunity for using this technology. Right now, we're focused on using this technology in high CO2 streams, basically exhaust gas at the power plants and other sorts of industrial operations. But if we're able to drive the cost down, you could easily use solar energy and actually make CO2 farms in which you're using sunlight to capture CO2 and produce valuable added products, and you'd be farming the CO2 out of the atmosphere directly. And that's also a possibility that can be explored later in the future.
So you've referred to these as drop-in chemicals. What are some examples of the drop-in chemicals, and what would they be used in? What type of products?
Well, mannitol, which is a very valuable food additive that's used as an artificial sweetener in many of the food products that you produce. You know, ethylene glycol that you use in your antifreeze. There's a plastic precursors that we can generate. There's a wide variety of products. And again, the opportunity of being able to tailor what you're producing to the market requirements is what I think is essential to getting these advanced technologies adapted. The ability to impart new technology is controlled very much by the economic forces associated with the value that technology brings to the marketplace. Otherwise, you're having a science experiment and you're not doing technology. And at Ingenuity Labs, we're focused on creating technology. And the idea of of developing solutions that are translatable to the marketplace that generate value, economic wealth, and increased prosperity.
The big question always is, how does this fit into the current infrastructure?
Well, that's a good point. That's the reason why we discuss drop-in chemicals, because these chemicals that we produce will be very, very high purity, and they'll fit directly into current production modes so that you can take the product that's being produced and use it just like you would use the product that came out of a refinery. So that's why it's drop-in. You can drop it directly into an existing process so it meshes directly with current infrastructure.
When you look at the changeover using solar as an example, it's taken at least 30 years to get to a point where now you can find solar panels on people's homes. Whereabouts are you at with the technology that Ingenuity Lab is developing?
Well, solar energy had a hard time in becoming adopted because of the cost. It's an issue of cost-benefit, and until the cost of solar panels and the efficacy of those panels got reduced, they weren't economically viable means of generating power, so the market doesn't adopt it. So it took that long to make those advances. The technology that we're talking about is the result of not 3 weeks of development, it's a result of over 15 years of work. You know, you said 30 years for solar cells. Well, this idea has been worked on for 15 years. And so it's at a level of maturity now where we're looking at making a continuous process in the next year that would be able to demonstrate the scalable economic viability of the process. So it's very, very close.
Thank you.
Thank you.